Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
As we return to Galatians chapter 2, the fact is, you and I need to continually go back to the Word of God and ask, is that really what the Bible says? If you and I get to the place where any messenger holds himself over the Scripture or says, no, you have to listen to the way that I interpret the Scripture, instead of placing himself under the Bible, we are in real trouble. I have never forgotten one of the highest compliments I've ever been given. It was given to me by Martha Kramer. Martha Kramer said to me on one occasion in the hospital down in Lima, she said to me these words. She said, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your preaching. She said, sometimes when I hear preaching from others, she said, I say to myself, well, now wait a minute. Is that really true? Is that really what the Bible says? She said, you know, one of the things that gives me great confidence in your preaching is, she said, you go line by line with a text that's right in front of us. You take us to the text, and then you say, all right, let's compare this scripture with this scripture. Let's look at other scriptures and find out what is this Bible actually saying to us. Folks, I believe that's one of the highest compliments I've ever been given, because that is exactly what the goal is. This preacher could drop dead of a heart attack tomorrow. I'm not making a prophecy here. I don't know how long I have to live. But the fact is, you and I have to continually go back and confront and ask, where does the authority come from? At least one of the ideas that you really need to pull from this passage is this. The Bible does not teach an apostolic succession by which we derive our authority. There are those who teach that. There are those who teach because one apostle taught another apostle, who taught another teacher, who taught another teacher, that down through the ages, that's where we get our authority from. Folks, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that we get our authority from some sort of apostolic succession. What it teaches is that the authority is in the Word of God itself. Now, this is wonderful because it helps us realize that the authority is available year after year to generation after generation. We have but to go to the Bible, to go to the Scripture and find out, but what does the Bible say? And when someone comes along and either says something that is contradictory to Scripture, or they act in a manner that is contradictory to the Scripture, then you and I, as wise people, have to say, okay, but I'd like to ask you a question. How does that match up with this verse? The way you are saying this, what you are teaching, or the way you are acting, how does that match up with what the Bible actually says? And I say to you, even when we think of ourselves as pillars of the church, you and I need to be ready for those kind of confrontations because they actually will help us. There's something else here if you'll stop to think about it. As I said a few moments ago, the Apostle Paul was, in a sense, younger in the faith than Peter was. After all, wasn't Peter all that time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Paul had a similar experience, and we can go into it another time. It's actually referred to here in the book of Galatians. Paul had a very similar experience, but the fact is that if you look at it as, well, say, seniority, if you looked at the Bible that way as seniority, Peter had seniority, and Paul was much younger in the faith, but Paul confronted Peter. You see, you need a confrontation of your lifestyle when it comes from Christians, even when it comes from Christians who are younger in the faith than you are. You and I might be tempted to think that way. You say, oh, pastor, you've been a Christian now for 35 years. Nobody but nobody can teach you anything, right? You're wrong. Folks, one of the youngest Christians in here could bring out some aspect of the glory of God I've not thought of. I've never forgotten a man trusted Christ here several years ago. And 2 weeks after he trusted Christ, we were standing right here in the foyer, and he made a comment to me that I had never thought of before. I was sitting there thinking, whoa, this man's only been a Christian for 2 weeks, and here I've been a Christian for 3 decades. And he said something, and as soon as he said it, I thought, wow. And immediately I wanted to go back to the Bible and study it out and see exactly what was going on there. By the way, he was right. He was absolutely right. the Lord had allowed him to see some things about the glory of God that I don't ever remember seeing before. So question, are you willing, as an individual, are you willing to have your lifestyle confronted? Pardon me. I appreciate those of you who are praying for me this morning. I'm wrestling with some sort of a cold or something. One of the most wonderful and beautiful pictures I have ever seen of this confrontation by a younger man is found over in 1 Kings. Would you mind turning over there to 1 Kings with me just for a moment? 1 Kings chapter 19. As we go, I will remind you of the setting of the situation. Elijah was one burned out prophet. He had become jaded. He had become an isolationist. He thought that he alone was standing for the Lord. He said, I'm the only one who hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. He said, I'm all by myself. And the Lord lovingly acquainted with him with the fact that was not true. For instance, you see in 1 Kings chapter 19, as the Lord answered him, he says in verse 18, "Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, every mouth which hath not kissed him." 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 18. Now, in this context, the Lord is telling Elijah, you are going to ordain or give the mantle to the next prophet. Elijah has said, I'm the only one standing. I'm the only one who understands this. I'm the only one who gets it, Lord. And the Lord is acquainting him with the fact that's not true. And so he says in verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat." Can I just think about this for a moment. Think about the way he called him into the ministry, and you'll get the idea. Verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with his 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then will I follow thee. And he, Elijah, said unto him, Go back again. What have I done to thee?" Can you just imagine being called into the ministry this way? That the man who God ordains to come and put the mantle on your shoulders says, "Oh, just go back. It's not going to work anyway. Just forget the whole thing." That's how burned out Elijah really was. And let me ask a question to you. Do you believe it is possible for people in this room who are older in the Lord to become so frustrated with their own weakness, to become so jaded with their own impotence spiritually, to come to the place where, because they have factored in their fears — that's exactly what Elijah did. He factored in, even after a mighty confrontation, he kills all these prophets at Baal. Because he fears Jezebel, he runs like a chicken. He's really running out of there as fast as he can. He's all burned out. He's so frustrated. Now, folks, it would be very easy for the new generation coming along to say, "Oh, and they're supposed to be the godly ones. They're supposed to be the prophets. They're supposed to be the leaders. Look at the way they act." It would be so easy for that to happen. I would remind you that Elisha did not act that way. In fact, what he did was, and you see at the end of verse 21, he rose and went after Elijah and he ministered unto him. Can you imagine what those discussions were like? Elijah saying, "Well, I used to honor the Lord," and even describing some of the great victories, and, "Oh, but that doesn't work anymore. You know, I've tried, and you can't live the Christian life, and nobody understands, and nobody's paying attention to me anymore." Can you imagine Elisha lovingly, consistently say, "Well, no, wait a minute. Let's talk about who the Lord is. Let's talk about the greatness of our God." I would like to point out to you that if you were to go back and study this, you would see in 1 Kings chapter 21, two chapters later, you would see that Elijah returned to what we might call some of his former brilliance. He went right back in there and confronted Ahab and Jezebel. When they sent armies after him, he, by the grace of God, called down fire from heaven on these armies. So much so that the last set of troops, the general came and basically fell in front of him, put his knees down and said, "Don't kill us. Would you please come with us?" And he went with him. I believe that what you see in the life of Elijah can be directly attributed to Elisha. So the point I'm making is this. I believe every younger person in the faith in this room needs to be willing to figure out how to lovingly confront, lovingly appeal to the older ones in this room. In fact, it is absolutely essential for the effectiveness and success of those who are older in the faith for the younger ones to come along and ask these kind of questions. The fact is, we live often in a self-deception where we have so deceived ourselves about the way things are. Our hearts and our minds are like stained glass, stained by our own fears. We don't even see correctly anymore. We think of our spiritual lives and our Christian lives in a very wrong way unless we are continually in the Word. And really what we need is, we need confrontation. Can I tell you some of the conversations I have treasured recently from members of our congregation? People who have asked me, Pastor, this was said from the pulpit. How does that match up with Scripture? In a couple of cases recently, people said to me, this special speaker said this. I'm not sure I see that in the Bible. Can you explain to me? In one case, I had to correct what was said. In another case, I had to try to explain what was being said to show how it matched with Scripture. Folks, I want you to know this. I treasure those kind of questions. And not just about everybody else's preaching, even about my preaching. I treasure the kind of questions, and I think it's absolutely essential for us to be like Paul and ask those kind of things, and, by the way, be willing to receive those kind of confrontations. It's not a one-way street. If we are willing to make or to give those kind of confrontations, we also have to be willing to hear those kind of confrontations. All right? Stop the message for a moment. Let's just ask the question. For those of you especially who have been, say, members of Calvary Baptist Church for decades, for others who would say, I have not been a member of Calvary Baptist Church for decades, but I've been a Christian for decades, do you believe that it would be helpful for some other, maybe younger person with less authority to come along and give you a loving challenge from the Word of God? To say, I heard you say this, I heard you say this, or I see that you act in this way, how does this line up with Scripture? Now, over the years, I've had these kind of confrontations. One fellow one time told me, he said, don't knock the dollar. The dollar is almighty. Do not knock the dollar. I've never forgotten that confrontation. I said, well, doesn't the dollar itself say, in God we trust? I mean, doesn't Scripture say that if you trust in riches, it will make itself wings and fly away? And the man absolutely did not want to hear it. Unfortunately, he was also my boss at the time. He didn't want to hear that. Shouldn't you and I be willing to make these kinds of questions, ask these kind of things, in order for others to really grow? I think the answer is yes.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.